Renegade Revolution.
The future of radio.
You are weak and sure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberstationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem with TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
Back to the Toldjication Hour, and I'm excited to welcome to the program my co-host, first of all, Ed Temple. Ed, how are you? It's always fun to continue to talk education, especially what's happening now. We were just seeing a specific topic today about increasing the day of the school day, which is, I think, crazy. It works in certain environments, Ed, but in others it doesn't. Ed, how are you?
Doing great. Yeah, I totally agree. There may be a need in some places, and there may be, that's exactly why the school choices give that opportunity for those that need it, want it, desire it, maybe would have to stay at the school long hours anyway. It may make sense to them, but in general, I don't see myself working longer hours than I'm already working, and couldn't see my kids doing that. They're already overly busy.
All right, so I'm excited to welcome the program. Tamara Raymond, and she is a executive leadership coach, and I appreciate you calling, and we're going to talk college admissions, college planning, preparing for college. How are you, Tamara? Thanks for calling.
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
All right, let's kind of jump really quickly into your background. Then we're going to go into the topic, because really what I'm interested in kind of delving into is that process of planning for college. What do we need to do? What are we doing wrong? How can we do things better? So go ahead and tell us your background, first of all.
Sure. So my background is actually in human resources, as a human resources executive, organizational change leader, and then fell into leadership coaching and career strategy. So that's what I do. I enjoy it. I love it. And, during my career, I heard a lot of, I wish I had known when, if only someone had told me,
yes.
From people a little further along in their career. And then, working with young people, which I did to give back and because I enjoy it, there's a lot of anxiety around figuring out what's next, especially deciding what you want to focus on, what areas you want to study. Before you head off to college, you have students who, instead of 4 years, if they decide to go to a traditional college, spending sometimes 5-6 years incurring more student loans because they changed their major, what they thought they wanted to do isn't what they really find out in the end that they're interested in. So, I was like, okay, if I can do something to help in that capacity in anyway,
yes,
I'm happy to do that because I struggled figuring it out as well.
And it's such a challenging thing. And a lot of times we think, well, as long as we get our degree, we're set, right? Or we choose a major and we study, we're going to find a job. And that's not always the case, is it?
That's not what students are finding is that, a traditional college isn't even the route
they
want to take in the end.
It's more about not education.
Yeah, I had somebody who wanted to be a mechanic.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Come across somebody who wanted to be a mechanic. Well, a traditional 4-year college isn't necessarily the right fit in that situation,
It's not always education. It's skill set, which we're seeing a lot today. And when I had an interview with Paul Tuff, we talked about it. Go ahead, Ed, with your question for tomorrow.
What do you think about, what's your take on kids applying for scholarships? What advice would you have?
Apply early.
Oh, that's
and
smart,
often.
Yeah.
you know, what I find is a lot of times, or what I'm hearing, the feedback I'm getting, is students aren't always aware of, you know, the depth and breadth of scholarships that are out there for them, because they're so overwhelmed with everything else that they have to do, right? That's just one more thing. And they are either unaware of the resources that are available to them, or haven't had the opportunity to take advantage of them. So, you know, there's a lot of unknown there. So a lot gets left on the table.
That's a great point, and to apply early. But the preparation process, we're a lot of times the kids I mm-hmm. tutor in SATs and ACTs, the parents are more focused on those test scores than the application process. Why is that?
Yep.
What do you think?
Well, I think there's this, I think that because of this notion that, you know, the better scores you get, you know, the better school you can go to, right? Or you can get in, get accepted to. Well, that's all good and great, but at the end of the day, you know, the school that the parents may want the kids to go to may not necessarily always be the right fit. And, you know, getting a particular score in, say, the SATs is not necessarily the solution to everything. You want to look at what your kid is interested in first, right? Because, say, you get into a great score, you go to a traditional, a liberal arts college, say, for example, that's a four-year college. But if you want to be a mechanical engineer, you know, that may not be the best route for you. So focusing a little bit more on the process, the area of study, the areas of interest, you know, so kind of taking a step back would probably be a better approach.
Yeah, so that's a great answer. I definitely I will go into deeper questions. Ed, go ahead with the next question.
Yeah, so, you know, going back to the scholarships, you know, this is something I've always wondered. Where do kids find out about scholarships? Is there a site to go to? I know the counselors help a lot with that, but where do they get information?
They help a lot for that. And you can actually, if you didn't look before, you can actually literally start out by Googling it. There are lots of books out there and major sites. You know, to find them, it's not that difficult. It's actually starting the process that is usually the biggest challenge. And speaking to people, so going to your guidance counselor, even if you already got into school, go and have a conversation with the financial advisor of your college. It's never too early or too late. The earlier you start, even better. But, you know, do searches. You know, don't go just the traditional route. Do the usual Google searches to see what you come up with, because there might be things you find that you didn't find, you know, from your college counselor or the financial aid officer. You know, there were, I had one particular person I was having a conversation with, and we just sat there and was like, okay, I'll just Google, you know, the particular category.
Yeah.
And so many came up, and I was like, really? That's all that took?
That's a great strategy. You want to find out information on something, you Google it. It's we don't need libraries anymore. You just Google. I mean, and it cracks me up with kids. That can't even research. I go, and then I find things for parents sometimes. I said it was just on Google. All I did was Google it.
Exactly. So, you know, the simple answer is, you know, yes, I could come up with some elaborate thing, or, you know, this is the main site to go to, or what have you. But at the end of the day, the simplest answers are usually the best. You know, use the resources you have available to you. And in many cases, like in my book, Careering, I break things down, you know, the process of exploring, taking a look at what you're interested in, into people and places. Right. So, you know, who are the people you can have conversations with? You know, so if you want to take a step back and look at that to make sure that you have all your bases covered, you know, in the world of people, you have the guidance counselor, you know, you have your financial aid officer, you know, you have your just calling up the college that you're attending. When I went to college many years ago, we won't say how long that was, how many decades ago. You know, I literally, after, you know, all my scholarships were in, I called up the school, you know, the admissions office, and was like, hey, like, is there anything else you can give me? Really? You know, and, you know, they made some referrals. So it doesn't hurt to ask.
Define go. I define you as a go-getter. My days, I couldn't wait to where I'm going to go play basketball. I had no mindset of school at all. I was going to play D3 at Western Maryland, which is now McDaniel College. I chose the school based on I thought I could play, have better playing time in the campus, and was one of the best party schools of D3. It was nuts how crazy it was there. And that was my decision-making process. So, again... there goes the sorry.
That's awesome, and I wish that was me. I was I was voted most likely to go to college like somewhere abroad or something. That's what they wrote in about me in my high school yearbook. So yes, I
and see, and I'm not, and yeah. so talk about life experience at 46, which I am right now. My life experience is crazy, and Ed would vouch for that, wouldn't you, Ed?
I would definitely vouch for that.
All right, Ed, go ahead with the next question.
Yeah. Well, first off, I just, as we were speaking, I just ordered a copy of the book. So can you tell us a little bit about the book that I'm getting ready to read, Careering?
Sure. So it's actually a pocket guide, meaning it literally fits in your pocket. I wanted a way to walk students through the process of exploring what interests them, you know, how to get from figuring out what in the world you want to do to taking steps to exploring that, figuring it out, trying it out, and seeing if, okay, is this something I really want to pursue? So it starts from, you know, spelling out what your interests are and then taking action. It's all around taking action to explore it. So if you think you want to be, you love English, so then you think you want to be a professional writer. Well, try writing, right? And you may find that writing professionally is not what you thought it was. You know, so, okay, maybe you want to stick to having,
that's a great
you know,
point.
Writing your poetry or what have you as a hobby, as opposed to exploring that as a career interest. So, you know, there's a big difference in the world of see, touch, feel. You might like the idea of something, but then when you get even just a bit of exposure to it, you realize it's not what you thought it was, right? So it's, at the very least, helping you find areas that you're interested in and explore them. And it walks through step by step. How do you go about doing that, right? What resources do you want to take a look at, research? It goes through everything from, you know, social media conduct. Yes, it can impact your admission or you finding a job or whatever the case may be, right?
I wish somebody would have told me that.
Right? So even interviewing, you know, I tell stories about things that happened to me while interviewing and things that I've experienced, you know, being courteous to the people you meet.
Yes.
You know, there are the regular things that you do to prepare for an interview, which I do spell out, you know, helpful tips, suggestions on interview questions, doing your research. You know, I speak to recruiters and I've done a lot of recruiting myself. So, you know, I've been on both sides of the table. And once I had somebody come in for an interview, and I was sitting at the front desk. I happened to be sitting there, and this, you know, was a very young person. And she comes in, and she's very rude.
Oh,
and
no. Yeah.
So I show her to the...
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcasters' features, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts, Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Conference room, yep. And I said, the VP will be with you shortly. So then I hear, as I escort her to the conference room and I'm leaving, I hear the VP telling her, oh, the director of human resources will be with you shortly. So then when I walk into the room a few minutes later, needless to say, her face fell.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a very short interview.
Oh, see, you know, that first... Yes, first impressions. I wanted to jump into when you talk about this, the whole process, first impression. But thinking about when you talk about the process of choosing that school and when you talk about all these different things, choosing a career. I have had a variety of careers. So I'm like the guinea pig of, guess what, life experience, 46, now busting my hump, working 90, 100 hours a week, when maybe I could have had a quicker track to the kind of income I make now if I would have been focused at 18 years old. Who knows? We're not going to go through that process, but this is important for families and parents that have kids that are all over the place. I never knew what I wanted to do.
Exactly.
I never knew what I wanted to do. I was so confused. I even, after my first career was over and I finished my career in pro I'm not even for professional wrestling. I was a professional wrestler, but I was looking. I graduated from college and said, I'm looking for a job. I still couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. And then, and everything came out from sales to teaching to everything. I think, have all these career tests, and you pay X amount of dollars for all this. But at the end of the day, it's all over the board, and it really doesn't give you any focus, these career tests. I tell families all the time with kids, find out what their passion is, what they really like to do, and then you'll find the right job for them. But we don't do that. We don't do that.
Exactly.
And go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just validating my story. And then I look back and say, well, teaching was definitely in it. Sales was definitely in it. Entrepreneurship was definitely in it. Specifically, dealing with people was definitely one of my skill sets. Radio was in it. All of these things came up as career, and I created it into all one thing as an entrepreneur. That's one thing, FYI, for people. If you have all these different skill sets, the best thing to do is be an entrepreneur. But go ahead with what you were saying. I
completely agree with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I completely agree with you. And so that is exactly what the book speaks to, right? Finding out some of the things that you're interested in and then trying them out to see if they are what you think they are, or they even, you know, are they even in the same stratosphere, really? Right. And taking a look at, okay, so have you thought of being an entrepreneur? You know, there are camps, summer camps these days, and entrepreneurship labs, you know, that you can research and find the one that fits, you know, best, works best with you, your skill set, your interest, that can show you and teach you, you know, how everything from how to build a business to how to create a product and take it to market. There are such programs out there for students in high school, believe it or not. So, you know, there's a lot out there, things that I wouldn't have thought of anyway, back when I was in high school. And networking. So that's
yes.
one of the things
I mentioned
in the book, is networking. You know, not realizing how important that is. And then to look at it not only as putting on a suit and going to a networking event, which is great, but a lot of times we forget the people who are close to us, who we trust, that could make a difference for us. I mean, me writing this book, I was having a conversation with my mother one morning, and she says to me, and I'm about to edit the book, and she says, oh, you know, remember, your aunt is a chair of an English department, you know, at a renowned university. Have you thought of having her read it?
Yes.
I did not think of that. Not that I don't know, that's what she does. But in that moment, that thought didn't occur to me, right? And it's the same thing. I had a client who goes to this gas station, the same gas station every week. And she, you know, is very friendly with the attendant. They have a great relationship. And the attendant asked her what she was up to this one morning. And instead of saying, oh, all is well, I'm good, had a great weekend, and drive off like she did sometimes, she actually stopped and shared what she was up to. Now, what she didn't know is that the attendant knew the governor of her state and was able to put her in touch with him, and it really helped
yes.
her project. So, you know, she had a community grassroots-based project, and then it took off and made the impact she wanted it to make. So, you know, yes, networking is great.
Oh, it's gigantic.
But think of it in many different avenues and areas of your life.
Now, Ed, go to the next question, but I think that that's the big thing. Ed, you agree as well with young people. Just you work with young people and your kids, and I work with young people and my kids. Coming up with a focus, what they really want to do, is the hardest thing. What do you want to do in your career?
Yeah, I totally agree. That's they have to, you know, figure out what their interests are. That's why there's a lot of different ways they can do that. I think it's called the Holland Codes. I think it's something. There's some different ways they do surveys and things, and it kind of pigeonholes you. At least it shows you what types of things you can be interested in. But I guess my question would be, I see a lot of your resume has things that have to do with making companies more efficient. So since this is a total, this is all about, you know, education here, what would you tell a student, whether they're in high school or college, how to be more efficient with their time?
Great point.
That is an excellent question. And how to be efficient with their time, I don't actually say those words in querying, but that's exactly what I speak to. You know, it's taking advantage of the things that you have available to you. You know, kids these days are ridiculously busy. They have a ton of homework, right? And millions of extracurricular activities, it would seem. And you're already engaged in that. So incorporate some of the things that you're already engaged in other aspects of your life. So whether it's figuring out what you want to do, take a look at and take advantage of the things that you're already doing to see what aspects of it you like or you don't like. You know, so cut to the same thing when you're networking. You have so many resources that are close to home that you don't think of. So there's this perception in many cases that, you know, it's taking on a whole, in the context of a company, it's very similar. You know, going out there and getting all these new resources or bringing in all these consultants when you already have the resources there, you know, and you won't have to spend extra time, money, or energy to create something new when you already have something that could work in-house, right? So you already have the things that you're doing. You already have the support system around you. Make use of them.
Very good point. And I think the hardest part in all this is kids' brains are just different, and they have different ways that they learn compared to other people. And the electronics world of being on a phone constantly and a screen all the time and communication via text message, video chat. They'll video chat and not even talk to anyone. They'll just stay on video with them. How do you take these skills mm-hmm. that they've developed and be able to use it to interview for a job, to get yourself out there? All these skill sets that young people have today compared to, let's say, people in their 50s or 60s or even some people in their 40s, the skill set that they're developing because of their generation, how do you kind of harness that ability?
A lot of those skills are critical in the market today, right? Because a lot of interviews are conducted via whether it's Zoom,
that's true,
or Skype or some form of, you know, video interview, right? So most people nowadays, that's, say, the second stage of interviews, right? They may have a phone call, you know, and then there might be a video interview before you even walk through the door. And I think there one company, it might have been McDonald's, who was introducing or at least experimenting with voice application process. So technology plays a huge role, you know, in the workforce today. And a lot of companies are now going into, you know, as you know, search engine optimization and, you know, all that is really, those are really big, you know, trigger words these days. And being present, a lot of them have presence now on social media. So whether that's Facebook, Instagram,
depends
Twitter,
on
Pinterest.
The job, right? If you're in sales or you're something that you are able to show
exactly.
a blueprint and how you get able to communicate and sell yourself, even and LinkedIn as well, before you even get hired. And so life experience
Absolutely.
Is huge. The biggest thing now, companies are not hiring people based on their degree. They're hiring them based on what they have done already and what they have the potential
yes.
to do. Expound
down the morale of the workers here. What could you do to, what would you come and say to them?
Well, usually it's all around people. You know, most of the, when I walk into an organization, most of the concerns, you know, that I've found have to do with, okay, you know, there's a manager and, you know, they don't particularly have the management skills or the leadership skills. They were great at their job and they were promoted. And it's not sitting too well with the people they supervise, right, for one reason or the other. Now, that usually is a major factor. So there's something relating to the leadership team, right? With their own leadership capacity or having a clear vision and mission that everyone would ideally like to stand behind. So having that be a missing. Or there is something that's missing in the process. But usually, if, you know, your human capital or the people within the organization are willing to be trained and developed, they're usually, systems will fix themselves. You know, like you can find the right product, you can create the right process. So at the end of the day, most of the concerns that I've seen start with the people, having the right people in the right positions, and people being willing to invest in, develop, and grow themselves. You know, you don't necessarily have to have the same leadership or management style as your mentor or the person who was there before you. You know, different does not mean less effective.
Right.
But knowing what your strengths are and leading through your strengths makes a huge difference.
Very true. And I completely agree with you on that. But let's kind of go one thing. I kind of was throwing myself under the bus by saying that I wasn't focused at 18. How many people from your studies of careers have seen people that have gone a different direction like me, that has experienced life as a professional wrestler, has experienced life as in so many variety of careers, and has gone to a journey to today where he uses all his skill sets that makes him far different than his competition and far different than maybe just going down the road of in sales from the beginning, the potential of success. Do you frown upon some journey like the journey I made, or do you feel that it's all about that journey to where we end up? It's
we have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. We shake up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
It's not always the simple path.
It's not always a simple path, actually. So your journey is a perfect example. The only thing I'm proposing is starting a little earlier.
No, I'm not. I went into teaching, and teaching led me back to entertainment and entrepreneurship. So, I mean, I have had success, but yet I could have gone with the skill sets. If I ever would have found them out earlier in my life, I wouldn't have
earlier,
had to go.
Exactly.
But I don't know if I would have been able to. I have that entrepreneurial brain that really can't work for somebody else.
Speaking to someone who can relate, collaborate, that's why I'm laughing, right? I completely can understand and relate to that, right? So, you know, look, I think I was always destined to be an entrepreneur, you know, from going from house to house, you know, selling my little trinkets as a kid or what have you, right? In many cases, very few people start out as an entrepreneur and stick with it, you know, from a very early age. Some of us, you know, myself included, you know, go through the professional path first in some way, shape, or form, right? And I see absolutely nothing wrong with that. But being exposed to it a little earlier,
right.
I think, would probably have helped me.
I agree, too. Me, too.
Yeah.
Maybe in the 20s instead of the 30s, yeah. Which I was. But I think that
exactly.
And now I'm transitioned back to working full time for a company, but still running all my stuff at nights, weekends, and other things where it's still the same success. Yet I've learned in the business world what I was missing. And now I have the missing pieces. It's very interesting to go back to work for somebody else, even if you're an entrepreneur and you have to take that step back at one point to learn from others. And I think that's a key indicator of success if you're able, Tamara, to learn from others, right?
Absolutely. Somebody asked me the question once, do you have to have a job first to become an entrepreneur? And I said, you know, the short answer to that would be no, but, you know, you'd be missing out on a lot, right? Especially working with other people who could be your mentor in small businesses where you get to see what works and what doesn't work. In entrepreneurship, I find that we're all going to make our own mistakes.
Yes.
But if you could skip through a few by learning from someone else.
It's other people's money. That's the biggest thing. Learning from other people. But that's where that networking process goes. If someone has $100 million to invest in me today, I'm definitely, I have a check right now. I'll take the check right now. But see, that's the thing that we have to understand. It's all about relationships. It's all about seeing how business works. But you've taught us the career path of looking at the individual brand. Ed, go over the last question. I know that you're going to go into a different direction than me, I'm sure, for tomorrow before we have to say goodbye.
Yeah. What would you say to somebody who says, you know, what should I do? I want to go into, you know, I want to go into public speaking. But what should I do to increase my ability to do that? Should I go to school? Should I do an internship? What should I do to the fastest way to get out there?
Get exposure. Like, actually get out there and start doing it. Now, the thing to get is, depending on what that is, it's not necessarily mutually exclusive. You can get an education while you're doing something else, right? Or, you know, in the world of public speaking, just doing some of the, starting out by doing, you know, the debate club or something like that in high school can be beneficial. You have Toastmasters and all those other things you can be doing. You know, that's not the kind of thing that you necessarily need to go to college for, right? But if there's a particular industry or, you know, a particular thing you want to work on, then, you know, that it may or may not require a formal education. But the best advice I have is to actually start doing it. Because the more you do it and the more exposure you have to something, you know, the better you get at it. And the more you learn, know what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And you're just able to develop your craft in a more comprehensive way.
Great answer. But also, I would take that. Ed, are you looking to go out and do public speaking? Was that a question for yourself in professional development? Is that another goal of yours to be a public speaker that goes on the speaking tour?
My thing is my motto is wherever God leads me. I don't know what I'm going to do. So.
My goal, I can't wait till my kids are older because I've learned public speaking and I've had so many experiences. I can't wait to go out in the circuit and tell stories of the celebrities I've interviewed and interesting people throughout. And that's the exact formula. Have a good talk that is able to inspire people and tell stories and educate them, and you'll hit a home run anytime. And I can't wait till I'm old enough, not old enough, till my kids are old enough so I can go out in the speaking tour. So that's something I would say, if Ed, you were saying public speaking, any type of skill, go out and do it. Even if you're not going to get paid, get as much experience as possible. Because once you have the experience, you are ahead of a lot of people in that process of choosing, right? If you have that resume of doing so many talks or whatever profession it is, a lot of these other people might have a degree in it, but they don't have experience.
Yes. And you learn so much from doing that you could never, you know, learn or know without having experienced it.
Well, you're a fantastic guest. Where can we find more information on you and learn more about you? Where can we go?
Thank you. You can go to my website, www.im, as in Mary, C as in Charlie, leaders.com. So imcleaders.com, and there's lots of resources on my website. You know, so for those, actually, I think one of my latest blogs was on applying for college for financial aid and scholarships. There's also, you know, are you in the middle of your career looking to freelance? What does that take? So there's lots of information on there. So please feel free to visit. Reach out to me anytime.
All right, fabulous. Thanks again, Ed. Ed, we can purchase your book. Where can we purchase your book, Ed, so people can check that out too?
Pretty much anyone that sells books online, and also there's actually one store in Marion, Ohio that's selling books in the store, but Amazon's the best place to go.
All right, and fantastic. And Marion, Ohio is where I started as a professional wrestler. I was trained by Charlie Fulton in Marion, Ohio. So there's another connection to you and I, Ed. Well, guys, I appreciate you calling, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, take care. All right, bye-bye. You're listening to Neil Haley's show. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show. On the Author's Corner segment, Miami Book Fair, November 17th to 24th. The Street Festival is the 22nd to 24th. Go to miamibookfair.com for more information. It's finally getting chillier. I just anticipate the next couple of weeks. And then where's the best place to go? Go to Miami. Get away from the cold, the snow, everything about winter, and enjoy Miami. Enjoy the great book festival and enjoy the amazing authors. And we continue to have great authors on the program leading up to live. I'll be broadcasting live in Pittsburgh while my co-host will be in Tampa, Florida. Neither of us will be in Miami, but it'll be our 10th year. We've covered the Miami Book Fair live. I'm excited to welcome the program author Boris Fishman, author of Savage Feast, Three Generations, Two Continents, and A Dinner Table, a memoir with recipes. Boris, thanks for calling. How are you?
Hey, Neil, thank you for having me. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely. Let's go really quickly to specifically enough. Will this be your first time in Miami?
Oh, no. I almost live there, even though I don't. The best way to live in New York is to live in Miami. I feel like sometimes it's the sixth borough. I've visited dozens of times by now over the years, and actually it'll be my second time at the book fair itself. So I've been there many times.
Oh, wow. Okay. And as a participant, or as just to be there, just to check it out?
As a participant, I was there for my first novel, which came out in 2014. It was called A Replacement Life. It was about World War II and the Holocaust.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So let's go. How did you decide to become an author? Tell us the story.
Oh, I think it decided me, you know. I did my best to try to do something else because it's such an unstable career. But for whatever reason, and I think I know the reason, which have a lot to do with the way you grew up. It was just, I wanted to express myself on the page. And shortly after graduating from college, I ended up at the New Yorker magazine working in their research department. And that was sort of the beginning of my writerly education. And as much as I appreciated what that place taught me, I wanted to pick my own subject and I wanted to write rather than research. And so I just struck out on my own, and eventually that brought me to a graduate writing program, and that's where I began to write my first novel.
Wow. And then from there, trying to get published is a challenge, right, after you write your first novel?
Oh, God. I guess, all in all, 4 or 5 years, several of which were spent writing and several of which were spent trying to get agents to agree to represent me and pitch me to publishing houses. A lot of no's, years of rejection, redrafting, trying again, trying to keep faith, trying to keep money in the bank because this certainly wasn't bringing in any. So it was a very long journey.
And that
it doesn't end just because you've published a novel. Every new project is, it's like with a movie, even though you've had a success, you still got to find new investors for the new one. And so it continues to be a challenge. It's just not an easy way to make a living in America in 2019.
I wonder if book agents are like the Hollywood agents. It'd be very interesting to see it, how they pitch different people and pitch different in the decision-making process. Just finished going back and watching all of Entourage on Amazon.
Uh-huh.
And I laughed my butt off in the fact of the way Hollywood works. And I'm sure that the book world works almost the same way. And just what they think is going to work and what's going to sell and find the right agent that's going to really go to bat for you.
I think that's right. I think there's a spectrum, right? And like maybe a good analog is like if you go to Canada, they have liberals and conservatives too, but their conservatives are way more liberal than our conservatives. So to transpose that to the book versus film agent spectrum, they're all interested in selling the product and making money, but probably even the most business-minded book agents are slightly more art-minded than their equals in the film world, right? Like, with book agents, the reason that I love my agent, for example, is that he cares equally about art and commerce. We talk about the artistic side of the project, but we also talk about its prospect in the market, and I want to do both of those. There are certain book agents who are not really going to spend a lot of time editing you or giving you artistic advice. They just care about making the sale. That's why they're there. But even those, I would venture to say, got into this business rather than, say, the film business, because they care about books, they care about art. They're going to be slightly less mercenary, even in those cases.
Absolutely. All right. So let's jump from there really quickly to the book and why'd you write it?
Yeah.
2014 was, so it's been a few years, right? 2014.
I had a novel in the interim. I had a second novel come out in 2016. But, you know, I started in journalism. I love nonfiction. I wanted to get back to it. And then this idea crept up, which was a family history told through
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. We shake up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
A nonfiction family memoir told through recipes. And I contemplated telling it as a novel, but honestly, the real stories were so wild that even though there are many things about it that feel like a novel, the dialogue, the characterization, the narrative arc, it's a novelist memoir. But that said, you know, I come from a country where things worked in some really surreal ways. By that country, I mean the Soviet Union.
Right.
And there were just so many great stories to tell about my elders and the kinds of adventures they got into and the kinds of dangers they faced and the many ways in which food plays a big role now in American life. It's like the new religion. It's, you know, everybody's thinking about it, what to cook, where to eat, artisanal this, farm to table that, chefs are rock stars, but it's a mainly consumerist phenomenon. Whereas in the Soviet Union, food was essentially currency. There wasn't enough of it to go around. And if you had access to good food, then you could have a lot of things that you couldn't otherwise obtain. And so, and my grandfather, on top of it, was just a really skilled, resourceful black marketeer who knew how to use this currency to get all sorts of things that he wanted and that he thought my family should have. But he got into lots of really interesting and dangerous scrapes along the way. And so I kind of wanted to profile both aspects of that story, both the food and the danger.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You think about specifically enough that country and the history and what they've gone through and the ups and downs of where their political movement's going and culture and everything changes that have happened in that country and even today. It's really, really confusing and challenging for the people living there.
So, I mean, in the United States, we've lost our understanding of what it means to live without constant access to food. Right. And in the Soviet Union, it's a perennial subject. During the war, you have a literal blockade of what used to be called Leningrad, now St. Petersburg, for 1,000 days or so, where just people eventually resorted to cannibalism. And I don't mean to get into anything tawdry. It's just that, like, you have to understand what going largely without food for 1,000 days does to a people's psyche. And then all the shortages and rationing after the war. And it really, there's an arc that connects it to this very day when we impose sanctions on Russia after they invaded Ukraine, after they annexed Crimea, rather. Right? They basically no longer have access to all sorts of products from Western Europe and elsewhere that they had access to until then. And it's doing all sorts of interesting things to their sort of food production ecosystem. They're having to develop proficiency in all sorts of things that they used to rely on other countries for, certain things they're not succeeding with, right? And they're just generally doing without. And so just this selective and unguaranteed access to food is just a huge part of the Russian experience that we in America don't understand at all.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite an interesting thing that we just don't know about. What if we go hungry? What happens if we don't have food that day, or we have to scrounge to something? There are people living like that in the United States, but not as many as Russia. That's for sure.
Oh my God. There are actually quite a few people, but it's the invisible affliction in America. Yes. It doesn't really get talked about.
It doesn't
faze
the people that are dealing with it every day. That is, you know,
every day.
Every day. They know about it. They understand it. And so yeah, for sure.
And that's another part of my book, because my grandmother, she's a Holocaust survivor. She spent 10 months during the war wandering around the swamps and forests outside the city where we lived, hiding from the Nazis. And she survived on basically potato peels and berries and sucking on tree bark and things like that. And that does things to a person's psyche. After the war, she was just plain old crazy on the subject of food. Like, she would not accept a job anywhere after the war. And you understand, everybody accepted whatever job fell to them. She would not accept a job after, unless it was at the bread factory. She was obsessed with bread. She wouldn't let my mother stop eating. She got so anguished when I didn't want to finish something on my plate when I was a boy. When she stepped out of the room, I would tiptoe to the window and scoop my huge bowl of oatmeal onto the bushes below, because I just couldn't eat as much as she wanted me to. And so it reverberates to this day. I live in New York City in 2019. Right. And it's so funny to me that we live in a time when so many people are trying to conserve and be eco-conscious. At the same time, there's such a tremendous culture of waste in America. Something like 40% of the food in our fridges gets thrown out before being used. And the way in which I am my grandmother's grandson is, every single week, 0% of the food in my fridge ever gets thrown out because it wasn't used as part of some meal. I'm incredibly conscious of those things because that's the woman I grew up under. And those are the values she instilled in me. And I think there's worse values to have. We cook almost all of our meals. We're incredibly mindful of where the food comes from and what we do with it. And these are legacies instilled in my family and my generation of fellow emigres, kids who came at 9 or 10 or whatever, by things that happened almost a century ago. So in this way, history lives on and sort of conditions things that happen so many generations later. And that's also part of the story that I tell in the book.
It's a great story. And I'm sure that's why you, again, are invited to Miami, because it seems very interesting and it really brings up a lot of conversations that we forget about. For us, we forget talking about these things because we're afraid to, right? We don't want to know what's happened globally. All that matters is what's happening in our neighborhood, and we have to stop that thought process if we want to globally.
I agree. And it's not only, even in our own neighborhood, there are many more stories than the one that we're telling ourselves when we go to the farmer's market to buy bok choy that was grown in some hydroponic environment. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the food exploration experience can't stop there. And I'm not saying people have to go work at a food bank, but like, I've got people haranguing me on Facebook for, flying, because now flying is a hostile act if you're committed to saving the planet. But like, do they know where their bok choy comes from? Are they making sure to eat only things that were grown within a 50-mile radius of where they live? Are the shirts on their back made in Pittsburgh rather than Vietnam? I'm pretty sure they're not. Yeah. And so there are many things to think about here, and there's no room in any of it for sanctimony or canceling or any of these extremely unpleasant cultural things that are going on. We need to get constructive instead of destructive, and think in a more holistic way about what our communities need. And of course, if your mind extends to more global concerns, that's great too. But you also have a lot of these people who are really worried about the starving children in Africa, but they don't care at all about what people in need are going through in their community. And so it just requires more open eyes to all sorts of things.
Absolutely. So it's very interesting, to say the least, book you're talking about, and great conversation for sure. Boris, you working on your next book? What's going on there?
Well, my next book has been replaced by the infant that my wife and I have. We had a daughter born to us 10 months ago.
Oh, congrats.
And so unless my next book will be about the trials and joys of early parenthood, I don't have a new subject yet. But I will tell you this, that as part of the experiences that I went through in order to write this book, this wasn't designed for the book, it's just something that fell together. I spent 5 months on the prep line at a restaurant on the Lower East Side in Manhattan in New York. And I got to say that I've got the kitchen bug. And as part of my writing this book, I recreated a lot of my grandmother's recipes. I translated lots of Ukrainian recipes that come from another woman who plays a large part in the story. So I'm actually thinking more about the kitchen than books right now. So we'll see what comes of that.
I mean, wow. So that's interesting. I mean, you never know what's going to happen next. You never know the possibilities and where a certain experience will bring you to a new experience. And I love that about life. Like, I was sitting here, you know, a year ago contemplating, is my business really going to last? And now, why did I ever think that when I got to take a step back? Then other opportunities opened and other doors closed. So you never know. And then you find something and said, well, I never thought that was what it was. And that's what brings life. If we're open to opportunity, if we're open to taking chances, we're going to have a much more interesting life than the life of the person who refuses to try things.
I will say that as many challenges as this country and culture have, one of the most beautiful things about it is that unlike other cultures and other places in the world, if you fail here, nobody bats an eyelash. It's completely understandable and supported for you to get up, dust yourself off, and keep going in some new direction. In fact, that's what you got to do. And so this culture actually endorses taking a chance and seeing what comes of a new direction. So I agree with you completely. All the best things that have ever happened to me have happened because I said yes rather than no. And I'm even talking about some that weren't a success. I don't regret having tried. Meanwhile, all those leaps I didn't make, all those times I said no to opportunity, to this day, sometimes 20 years later, I'm wondering what might have happened if I said yes instead. So if that isn't a lesson to me, I don't know what it is.
Well, fabulous. Love the story. Congrats on the baby. I just had my sixth, and I'm sure you're sleeping.
Wow.
different ways and you're dealing with different things. So, but again, what I say always in life, when people say they are bored, they are not trying to live life. And the process of doing things like everyone averagely does, it becomes boring. And I'd rather have an exciting life that has, you know, peaks and valleys than go with just a life of just blah, you know, because at the end of the day, of course, we're trying.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts, CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.